This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And doth my eyes deceive me? We have both Sarah and our illustrious guest here at the same time today. We've been foiled twice before. But not today. We are back with the mastermind behind Taking Initiative. It's Josh Perot. How are you doing?
I'm doing much better than Sarah's here. I'm excited to finally do this.
I'm balancing my excitement with my sadness that the conspiracy theory that we're both the same person because we haven't been in the same podcast together. It's being put to rest.
Hold on a second. What is this conspiracy theory I've got to hear? We're the same person?
We're the same person. Have you ever been seen in the same room at the same time? I don't know.
Many times
monthly at one point in time.
I will say I've never seen you and seen myself at the same time.
Oh. So there you go.
Oh shit.
So you might
we'll just have to settle for being excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're just going to have to be really excited about this.
Yeah, we're just going to have to lead into the excitement, which is easy, because I'm so glad that we're both at the same place at the same time, Josh. This is great.
Very much same. So are we going to get an idea from you?
Oh, why, yes.
How scared should we be, Sarah, on like a scale of like
scared.
1 to level 1 characters entering Strahd's castle? How scared should we be?
Well, there is sort of a Barovian element, but we'll get to that. Yes. I think for anyone who's new, and this is listening for the first time, we apologize for the 2 minutes of inside jokes. Welcome to No Bad Ideas.
I apologize for nothing.
And here at No Bad Ideas, we, 1, apologize for nothing, and 2, spring ideas on our friends and colleagues that they have not heard before and will then have just 10 minutes, only 10 minutes, to try and turn it into the start of a good story, whether it's a movie, a podcast, a D&D campaign, just the start of a good story. And I have something for you. Dear listeners, this will be in the description for the episode if you want to click on this article and read along. Or see the pictures. This story comes to us from CNN. CNN Travel, specifically. And it reads, an 80-year-old who disappeared while hiking turns up at his own missing person appeal.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Okay.
So, an 80-year-old man who went missing while hiking during a hailstorm was reunited with his family at a press conference staged to try and find him.
Wow.
Yep. Harry Harvey was reported missing at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday after he became separated from his walking partner while out hiking in the Yorkshire Dales in the northeast of England. Police, the Royal Air Force, and mountain rescue workers spent 4 days searching for the experienced hiker, and a press conference was planned for Wednesday at the Tanhill Inn, situated within the national park. But the planned appeal turned into a celebration when Harvey turned up at the pub. A wildlife photographer had spotted him while out on the moors and contacted rescuers. Embraced by his son and daughter-in-law, Harvey, who had a large dressing on his forehead, addressed the cameras and waiting reporters. Seated by a roaring fire in the country pub, he described, quote, being caught out in a really heavy hailstorm with howling gales and winds. By the time I got my kit on, it was really dark, he said at the press conference. Harvey said that he then reverted to plan B, which was finding somewhere safe to camp and setting up his tent. When questioned about his injury, he said, quote, I came off a bridge and that was it. Lost my glasses and my compass. Fortunately, the orange frames of his glasses made it easy for him to find them. Asked how he felt about the gathering at the pub, he said, if I'd have known, I wouldn't have come back. I could do without all of this. Aww. I had three really good wild camping nights where I was on my own and had all the kit I needed. The only thing I was getting a bit short of, I've got a hell of an appetite. So when I get hungry, I've got to get something to eat or I can't go on. Harvey's relatives, however, were less enthusiastic about the experience. His daughter-in-law, whose name was not given, told the press conference, quote, he had a blast. We've had a nightmare.
Wow.
That was the sentence that made me want to bring this idea to all of you. So, elderly gent gets lost on the moors, shows up at his own missing person press conference. I'm going to put 10 minutes on a timer.
Oh my gosh.
Tell me a story.
One man's blast is another person's nightmare.
Yeah.
First things first, is this person who came back the same dude?
Oh, I mean, my maybe. Fuck.
My instinct is that it is, but...
He's a vampire?
Is he the same?
Well, now that you say that... No, I was about to say that, you know, he's someone that did this intentionally. Like, this was an intentional disappearance. He either, you know, it's the classic, my family doesn't appreciate me, so I'm going to give them a taste of what it's going to be like when I'm not here. Mm. Or he was doing something illegal, securing some dangerous item. There was sort of a more concrete, intentional reason why he would want to be away for a while. It wasn't just an accident.
Uh-huh.
Right. But then him showing back up at the press conference has to also be part of the scheme.
Yes, it is. Which I think means that it is either... it either has to kind of be a way to draw attention from something else. Like, you know, it is trying to create something that the media would concentrate on while his partners broke into City Hall and extracted the records or something like that.
Speaking of the partner, did we hear what the partner did? Was he found?
The partner just lost him, and the partner was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, lost him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also an angle. Just sort of like the Mr. Bean of trying to be murdered. It doesn't happen.
Now, that would be an interesting angle. Was he supposedly murdered, and that was the whole point? And he came back and foiled his partner's plan.
Right. Then it's like a little bit of like elderly Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Like it's like Count of Monte Cristo meets up.
Or he didn't know he was trying to be murdered.
I would watch that. Pixar film? Is it a Pixar film? I don't think it is anymore.
No, well, this is more DreamWorks territory.
Yeah, like the animated version of this for kids, I think, is the version where the guy is completely oblivious. He does not realize that he's trying to be murdered. And it's one of these like, oh, I dropped my dentures, and he leans down to get them, and the axe like lands where he was a second ago.
Right. It's about the power of seeing the best in people, because he's just so oblivious that it works for him.
Right, and he keeps dropping his glasses, and so he can't see, and that's why he doesn't see all the assassins that are around him.
He's kind of like Mr. Magoo in that way.
Yeah, right. That's a good point of reference.
It also smacks of The Man Who Knew Too Little, one of my favorite pulls for this show.
Yes.
So so I guess him coming back, I guess him having a blast, but we had this disaster. What happened to this guy that he has such a wonderful time?
Well, clearly all the friends he makes along the way, and just like the Cinderella cast of woodland critters that like just seem to like have a weird affinity for the man.
Well, you said he had a headdress or something when he came back, right? Maybe he met some other people who got lost on purpose.
The lost ones.
I like that.
Showing him how fun it is to actually not be with society or to put down the technology for a while. And, you know, all those young people, they don't know what they're talking about. Right. And then he actually came back with, like, dressed or having different artifacts from the different people and places he went.
The Rainbow Tribe.
Yeah.
Rainbow Gathering.
Yeah. Oh, did he stumble on Burning Man out there?
Is that what happened? Aren't rainbow gatherings sort of like Burning Man-esque things? They just happen in the wood instead of the Black Rock Desert woods?
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay. I will not something I'm an expert on.
Okay.
I was thinking kind of like on that wavelength, like of the commune in The Beach, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. Sort of something that is like a group of people that are like, we have washed our hands of civilization. We're going to live out here. And it's pretty fucking, you know, paradise-like until someone tries to leave. And then the claws come out. And then it's like, no,
right,
you can't leave because the moment that you're back, you're answering questions, and then the rest of us are going to be exposed. And so it might be sort of something like that, some kind of idyllic commune that is only idyllic as far as it's not challenged. And this
man... And he stumbles upon it, then?
Yes, stumbled upon it, and then does not realize that he is challenging them, and also does not realize how narrowly he avoids being killed multiple times as he, like, you know, gets his coat because he realizes that he's been away for too long and he really should be getting on home.
Well, Sarah, you were also leaning into the Barovia angle. Do we want this like group of people that he finds to be some type of monsters that he is accidentally like avoiding all of the pitfalls and ends up leaving these monsters behind to try to kill him? Like they're giving him food. They're trying to like fatten him up a little bit, trying to make him feel all comfortable. And then he gets out of that situation and is completely safe. Because again, if this is a Dreamworks angle,
it would explain why they're separated from civilization, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very werewolf vampire-esque in a way.
Mm. No, and I'm into that.
Yeah. You drop like hints along the way of like if they're vampires, you know, them wearing hats in the sun, or, you know, they're only, you know, practicing something at night. With the wolves, they're definitely itchy all the time or just hairier than normal, like dropping little subtle hints. But I like this idea that he has no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah. No.
Ever. I like it.
No, like 0%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be like a amalgamation of just like a sort of a Island of Misfit Toys kind of situation where there's like there's a vampire and there's a werewolf and there's a shape changer and there's like Selkie and, you know, all sorts of mythological creatures, and he just sort of stumbles upon where they all live.
The like Lost. A Monsters Anonymous kind of
thing. Yeah. That's a great title for it.
Monsters Anonymous is a good title for it. Does he need to have a sort of younger, more aware person with him? Like, you know, having someone that is completely oblivious to the dangers of everything that is around him, that might get like a little exhausting after a while. Like, you know, like spending 90 minutes.
Will turn.
Yeah.
We can I have think someone having like, or go ahead, Josh.
No, go ahead. Go on.
I was going to say, like, we need to sort of work in, we sort of have like what the dilemma is for the Monsters Anonymous, but kind of need something for him. So if he had like his young daughter who he's trying to connect with, who's super cynical and hates hiking, and they get lost and stumble upon this place, like having someone who he is used to them call it them sort of belittling him. So it would be a way for like him to have some interpersonal conflict and for like the hints to not quite get all the way through.
I like that.
I like the fact that the partner is not someone who is trying to kill him, but it was actually his daughter who is the conflict in that relationship, and he is the reason they get lost. So she blames him.
Totally. Yeah.
I like that a lot as well.
Yeah. I did.
It could also be her befriending someone in the Monsters Anonymous group that tips them off as in what's going to happen.
Right.
the human that they've been like waiting to eat that's like in the cage.
Yeah.
That's just or like part the, of the community at this point because it's been like a season or two.
Yeah.
Or like
like the what we do Moody in the shadows, the guy that they want to kill or not want to kill. I forgot the human's name. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
I was just going to say that like, you know, she strikes up a friendship with one of the monsters and they tip her off about what's going down. You have about a minute left, guys. How does this end?
I kind of think that anyone else that is not our oblivious protagonist gets gruesomely eaten as our oblivious protagonist returns home oblivious and protagonist.
His daughter?
His daughter, if it's his daughter, probably not.
But she could become a werewolf and decide to stay.
That's actually pretty good. I did have, before you brought up the daughter, the actor that plays Samwise Gamgee popped into my head.
Sean Astin
as a park ranger that was like maybe his son-in-law or something who just like came to rescue him, finds him, realizes that that monsters are real and is like incredibly traumatized by this fact and like really present to the immediate danger that they need to get the fuck out of there.
No, he's the only one who's believed that monsters are real.
He's been a monster truther.
He's ready.
Right. And so, but he's there with like a sub-automatic machine gun and like all the knives.
No.
And just, like,
oh my God. I think, not Sean Astin.
No, I think the heartbreaking thing about it is that he is the monster truther. He thinks he's ready. He's absolutely not ready.
All he has is like bear mace and
the
whistle.
Vampire pops up and he's like, ha ha, I have the cross. And the vampire's just like, okay, cool. And he like knocks it off and it's like, oh, that doesn't actually affect us. And it's just like, oh shit.
Oh no.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Well, on that terrible mistake, that's time. This is fun, you guys. I like there's lots of set pieces and lots of stuff going on in here. I like it.
Who plays the older oblivious protagonist?
I feel like you could go a couple directions.
Billy Boyd, no.
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 I'm trying to think
no.
of if it's a modern Sean Astin, day.
If it's Sean Astin, it would be funny to get McKellen for it.
That would be
funny.
Oh,
McKellen would be great. I don't think he would ever do that.
He wouldn't go anywhere near it, but it would be funny.
What about Nicholson or De Niro?
Oh, Nicholson would be very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm trying to think of a modern day equivalent for like the Mr. Magoo role or like Naked Gun, like with.
I mean, Bill Murray could do this very well.
Yep, Bill Murray could do it.
That would be entertaining.
Yeah. Well, let's have a ponder and keep thinking about it. But we're gonna take a short break while we do that and be right back with another bad idea.
Well, we are still on the hunt for our, Nightmare Romp in the Woods special. while we work on our casting for that, I think we have another bad idea from Gabrielle Urbina.
Oh, yes, we do. This is a fun one. This is one that I've kind of had in my back pocket for a little while, so I'm excited that it's finally seeing the light of day.
Excellent.
Oh, shit.
It comes from our friends over at NPR.
Love them.
And I'm actually going to hold off on reading the headline. I think I'm going to read the article first because it has some
good
twists in it. And as always, dear listeners, if you'd like to read along, a link to the article will be in the episode description. You guys ready?
Yes.
As ready as it's going to be.
All right, away we go. The article reads, "It's not often that an English teacher can get quality bulletin board fodder from the local prosecutor's office. But don't be surprised if you see this document tacked up as motivational material in some classrooms next year. There is a photo of a certificate of death." It's
okay.
A death Jesus. Certificate, the article continues. "At least Nassau County, New York District Attorney Madeline Singas said it was supposed to pass as a death certificate from New Jersey. The Long Island prosecutor alleges that Robert Berger, 25, tried to forge a legal document in October in a bid to fake his own death and dodge a likely jail sentence."
Bro, not
and
worth it.
"The alleged ruse might well have succeeded. If not, for the typos." Quote,
Wow.
I'm about to be personally attacked.
Oh, wow. I am dunking myself with this article, but yes.
This also is like a bizarre real world Brazil moment.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So upon inspection of the certificate by the Nassau County District Attorney's Office, it was noted that font type and size changed in the document. Additionally, prosecutors observed that the word registry in the department named was misspelled as regsitry in the issued by section.
We all know they can't spell in New Jersey.
Wow.
This is funny because I was in New Jersey today. It's a great place. It's God's country. But
so they announced all of that on Tuesday. Quote, after calling to verify the certificate with the New Jersey Department of Health, Vital Statistics, and Registry, here spelled correctly, investigators confirmed the certifact was in fact fraudulent. Berger had been facing sentencing for a pair of felony vehicle theft-related charges to which he had already pleaded guilty. But in October, according to prosecutors, his attorney at the time told the court that Berger had died and submitted the bogus paperwork attesting to Berger's suicide. Prosecutors said that the attorney, Mir Moza, later attested that Berger had tricked him into unknowing participating in the conspiracy, and that he has since dropped Berger as a client. Thank God. Berger's new representation declined to speak with NPR about the case on Wednesday. Now, in addition to his previous legal woes, Berger faces the prospect of up to 4 years in prison on the felony charge of offering a false instrument for filing. He pleaded not guilty on Tuesday, I don't know what on grounds. Quote, submitting fake documents to prosecutors is always a bad idea, A, Singa said in a statement. While he'd have been caught regardless, failure to use spell check made this alleged fraud especially glaring.
So, gotta get Grammarly, guys.
I think that like for me, what makes it art is the like changing fonts and font sizes. Like I think that's what makes
that's
it especially good.
The mark of a lazy.
I mean, especially bad.
Yeah, right.
Just lack of follow through.
Wow.
There's just not enough. You didn't commit to the artistry of it, man. You know, you gotta follow through.
Clearly, you know, his passion was stealing cars, and everything else yeah. is just like you gotta force
secondary.
Your way through it. Yeah.
Right, there are some moments that makes me very proud to be from Long Island, and I don't know if this falls into that category, but I'm just happy that it happened, so we can talk about it.
So yeah, so you are, you know, you are a man from New Jersey. You are facing some auto-related charges, and then you have this great idea: fake your own death, kind of rush the death certificate, trick your lawyer.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? And how do we turn it into a good story?
Well, is this process of filing for your own death contractual?
Tell me more.
Well, the idea of, like, devil's bargains, in a way.
Okay.
You signed it. It wasn't exactly, you know, the best made contract that you possibly did, but now you are obliged to it.
Oh, I see. So it's one of these things that, for example, like, if the cause of death on the bogus death certificate is, like, eaten by crocodile, all of a sudden, it's like Final Destination. Like, the world starts conspiring to make sure that you actually are eaten by a crocodile.
Yes. I didn't know that was the direction I was going to go with it, but yes. Yeah. Like, you doing this, like, whatever document you were filling out, were you really signing your own death warrant and not knowing it?
So have any of y'all encountered Death Note?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is, for anybody who's unaware, manga series turned into a live-action adaptation and a animated series where there is a literal book that you can write people dying in, and then they will actually die the way that you write it, even if they have to, like, do stuff, go into a fugue state and, like, travel state lines. Like, you can end up weirdly controlling them. And so this is sort of like...
Right, like, it's like, it really is like a book of fate, really, and you can rewrite fate.
Exactly. And so, like, it sounds like somebody slipped him a page from this book, to write his own death certificate on and is now, like, basically running away from crocodiles as fast as he can. Because right, the like fake coroner's report has that on it.
Right, some trickster god kind of knocked on his door and went, "Why, hello, can I interest you in these fine leather jackets? Also, have you ever considered faking your own death? If you do, definitely use this paper that I am providing you." And it just happened to sort of be, you know, the paper of destiny.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Can this paper of destiny be in a Staples printer? No. Like, I feel like it's a lot of work to go and source clients who want to fake their own death. But if you just, like, I don't know, you have a cursed printer, you're gonna hit a bunch of people that way.
So this is really like the Good Omens Crowley different of kind of, you know, like, as a devil, you gotta work faster, or you gotta mm-hmm. work smarter, not harder. Instead of going door to door tempting people, you gotta have the people come to you.
I also had this Funny Games tie-in. I don't know if you've seen the movie Funny Games or not,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, you start and end the movie in a similar way, so you know this is a cycle of this person or entity does these things. You watch mm-hmm. them happen, and then you watch it's just going to happen all over again. Yeah. So I'm thinking we start with this one person. We watch whatever journey they're going to go through, watch the inevitable bad end to it, and then watch this continue with a secondary character.
Mm.
Mm.
Right, like it sort of like begins with, or sort of rather it ends with a new person kind of going like, how am I going to get out of these racketeering charges? And then, you know, like the Staples employee comes up and is like, oh, is there anything else that I can get for you? Smile. And then it's, you know, mm-hmm. like directed by whoever.
Right.
Eli Roth.
Yeah, like the beginning of the movie could be him going through his problems and hearing about this person who ended up getting out of trouble by faking his own death.
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah,
100%.
And it's just a salesperson, and you didn't know the whole time until later on that that was the person, because maybe the first time you only saw them from the back.
Yeah,
and now
yeah,
this
yeah,
time
yeah.
you see him from the front.
Yeah, you stayed focused on the guy's expression as he realized this could be a way out.
I like this idea.
I like this.
So what troublesome thing is this person going to have to go through? The crocodiles is obviously like an option. But what is this person going to have to go through
to hit
the end?
It kind of depends. And it's one of these things that, like, if this is the version of this movie starring Jim Carrey, then I think that it's the crocodiles, because then it's kind of like after a while he's in his own apartment and he's like slowly opening the fridge, and then it's like, you know, okay, no crocodile in there.
Yeah.
And then he closes it.
Oh, you know,
and
one of the things,
you know,
has
he
to be
like
caused
opens,
by a typo.
You know, his like medicine cabinet.
Yes, obviously.
And then there's a crocodile in there or whatever. That's one option. I think that the version of this that stars like Viggo Mortensen, I think that then it needs to be like cause of death is car crash or something like that. Which is much harder to avoid.
I do like this idea that it is Final Destination-ish, but it's actually self-caused.
Mm. Yes, that's that you sign up for it. If we wanted to do a silly one, the typo could have intended to be poison and ended up being poisson, and so he's eaten by fish.
That's funny.
I like to think that is this like devil or entity's trick is by throwing those typos in there. So you're expecting one thing, but it will be another thing that ends up getting you.
That's some like asshole genie tactics. Yeah.
It is.
Do they give them like an old typewriter to do it on? And it's like, why is this key stuck? Oh shit. I just typed.
I think it's just shitty keyboard from the 90s.
Yeah.
Like it was sold from Brimstone Valley Mall. And like some of the keys are just sticky.
Right. Right.
100%. Sarah, I do like your idea of the Staples printer, but instead of the printer, have it be a used open box keyboard.
I like it.
Really, like, this
Nobody
is almost kind of like Minority Report. Like, kind of this guy gets put in this situation and someone is just like, hey, this is just the way it's going to happen. Like, you can't fight it. It's what it is. And then it's kind of like, he will either be able to thwart destiny or not.
Yeah, it's like Minority Report plus the red shoes plus deep, mediocre criminality.
Yeah, I'd like to think that the reason he's going through with this is not for anything huge either.
No. No, 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 no. He's trying to get out of 6 months of community service.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pettiness. It's what kills you.
This gives me like a Drag Me to Hell comedy vibe.
Yeah, well. Totally.
And I think that's the tone that it has to be for something that's like, otherwise, like, it's Ed Norton just being anguished for 2 hours. Yeah. Like, which, don't get me wrong, that can be a fun time, but I think I would rather go in the Drag Me to Hell direction.
Yeah.
Totally, totally.
Zach, I interrupted you before. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that after this movie, nobody ever shopped the open box discount at Best Buy ever again.
Seriously.
Or we just don't hear from them again. That's all.
All right, so there's about 2 minutes. There's about 2 minutes remaining. Does mm-hmm. he get out of this? Does he squirm his way out of this? Does he find, like, the bedazzled style loophole that lets him kind of get out of it? Or
I think we think he gets out of it, but because of the typo, he doesn't.
Ah, okay, I see. Right, right, right. So, you know, so it's like if he meant to put down poison and he accidentally put down poisson, then, you know, like, he figures out if somebody dies in his place, he engineers it so that, like, this really bad person gets poisoned, and he's just like, boom, done.
Thinks he's free, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. right. Gods of fate satisfied. Consequences avoided. What up? And then, on his drive back to his house for a celebratory fuck fate party, all of a sudden, this truck crashes into him, and he survives the car crash, but he gets crushed by the truck's contents, a gigantic cargo of fish.
There we go.
I'm trying to think of a title where it can be a typo, but also explain the movie.
Ooh, that's a tall order.
Yeah. I know, I'm struggling at the moment.
Right, like it needs to sort of be like...
Co-fishy?
Like...
No, I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about sort of something that is like, you know, like Hell-Bent, but with like three L's or something.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a new challenge for these sorts of things.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something. You just said right, and I'm like, well, right can be changed to white or something if there was like, you know, white space, and that's where right. he filled everything in, or, you know, something along those lines. But I think topic-wise, the title should be a typo. Just well, by someone who has more time and effort than we do.
And speaking of not having time, that is indeed 10 minutes being up now.
Goddamn. What a tale.
I feel like I need an evil cigarette after that story.
So a cigarette.
Yeah, basically.
Fair.
Fair point. Yeah.
We'll just go out behind the nearest Staples and light one up.
Yeah. I'm now having an office space. Like beat the shit out of the printer moment, but if it's uh-huh. like that printer,
but the keyboard.
And thinking that'll solve it, but it doesn't.
Mm. Yeah.
I know the idea is over. I'm still thinking about it. That's what some good ideas do. These brain churning.
A good bad idea.
Yeah. Exactly. That's right.
During our last time, the whole subway trip home, I was like, "What if we went in that direction instead?"
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, happens to us. It happens to us too. You know, just kind of like. The next day, I think, is the best moment for, that's the way that you solve it. Like, that's the way that the Lego pieces kind of all fit together.
How did I not think of that in the 10-minute span that we had? I
mean, well, it is pretty unforgiving.
Nah.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for coming back on the show and for surviving your second tour of duty. It is only the brave and the bold that come back for more bad ideas.
Well, you know, I will do it again. Again, masochistic writer. I will do that. I know you guys know nothing of the term.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
Not at all.
What is this massa?
No. It's when you usually stay up the night before writing a script for something or, you know, like when it's due the day before that and you just get it out. And then all of a sudden you have genius content anyway. That's you
Got
guys.
It.
Oh. Evil geniuses.
Now, speaking...
Only kinda.
Speaking of genius, though, if folks wanted to check out your stuff, what's the best place for them to find it?
Well, I don't know why you said speaking of geniuses. Jeez. Right, though. But if they would like to find Taking Initiative stuff, they can find us on Twitter at @TI_pod. You can find all of our links at takinginitiativepodcast.com and Taking Initiative on iTunes or any other, you know, podcast related application.
Wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Yes. And if you'd like to find me on the internet, I'm in a very limited amount of places. Especially since quarantine. You can find us in our Discord with the link is in the website that I gave before. But me in particular, I'm at Zyroxus the Beard on Instagram. How do you spell that, you ask? Good question. It's at Xiroxis the Beard.
Nice.
Yeah. You can also find me outside of podcast stuff. Working on film and TV, that's my main job. So if you catch Blue Bloods this season, the upcoming Filthy Rich on Fox, and the upcoming Werewolves Within movie, whenever that releases, I've been working on those and much more that I can't talk about. So feel free to ingest that and go, hey, I know that guy.
Brilliant.
Always fun.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valente. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.